Listening. Listen to the text and choose the answer which fits best according to what you hear. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look through the task.
Jed Stone's best known now for his talents as a garden designer, but he and his wife Helena ran a highly successful jewelry business in the 1990s, which brought them fame and high living. Then they lost it all, and some years later bought a derelict house, which they renovated, and now together they've created a garden. They join me in the studio today. You do seem to do most things in partnership, like the jewelry business, but using Jed's name. Why is that? Helena?
Well, this is a bit of a bone of contention, actually. We have a friend in PR who said, "You have a great name, Jed Stone. People would pay a fortune for such a good name." But sadly, at the time, it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't get the credit for what we do. And that does get to me sometimes. But there again, I'm very bad at putting myself forward. People see Jed as a figurehead, which is fine, actually, because I don't enjoy being recognised or get any thrill out of that, whereas Jed loves it.
Is that right, Jed?
Obviously, I'd love to say no, I don't, but yeah, I do. Even as a child, I thought it must be marvellous to walk down a street and have people know who you were. Ironically, that's the worst of it now. It would be nice just to go and buy a paper without somebody saying something, but I suppose I do like being a public figure. Gives me a sense that I've done something people appreciate. It doesn't stop me doing anything, but it does modify how I do it.
But Helena, you did appear on our television screens briefly as a presenter on the travel show. That must have been a dream job, travelling around the world.
Actually, I thought I was being heroic taking that job. I'd actually rather have gone down a coal mine. It was ironic, really, because Jed adores travelling, whilst I hate it. The timing was critical, though. I mean, we were living in this derelict house. We'd knocked huge holes in the walls to make windows, and we could hardly afford to get the job finished. And I wanted to be there when it was done. So I genuinely didn't want to do the job they were offering, but I felt I had no choice because, apart from anything else, it would provide us with a reasonable income.
So what about this jewel garden? Did you have a clear idea of what you wanted to do when you bought the house?
Not at all. In fact, we were provoked into action. I was giving a lecture on gardening, and I was including some snaps of our own wilderness to show what certain plants looked like. But these photos hadn't loaded onto my laptop properly, and you couldn't see a thing. So I started to make it all up, describing this jewel garden with magical colours. It came straight out of my imagination. Hadn't been a long-term plan or anything. Anyway, as soon as I'd finished, these journalists came rushing up saying, "We must come and take pictures of your jewel garden." And I heard myself replying, "Fine, but come when the colours are good. Don't come now." To cut a long story short, we had to make the jewel garden before they came. And actually, we did 90% of the work that summer. That was our incentive.
And why did you call it a jewel garden? Having read about the disasters with the jewellery business, one would have thought you wouldn't want the word jewel in your house at all.
Well, I like to work on projects. And if you have a project where you're thinking only of jewel colours, then that starts to limit you. And design is all about reduction. Really, it was just a good, positive way of tackling what plants we were putting in and the way we were going to design the garden, wasn't it, Jed?
Yeah, but for me, it was also partly a metaphor. It's making something worthwhile out of a failure. We did spend years doing the jewellery, and it wasn't all disastrous. There were good things about it too, and we wanted to salvage them and treasure them. Seemed a waste not to take that bit of our lives and to somehow incorporate it into our new design venture, to take the bad experience and use it in a creative way.
Jed and Helena, thank you for telling us about it today.
Now listen again, then read the text below. You will notice that some ideas coincide and some differ. Answer the following questions by choosing A, if the idea is expressed in both materials, B, if it can be found only in the reading text, C, if it can be found only in the audio recording, and D, if neither of the materials expresses the idea.
Jed Stone's best known now for his talents as a garden designer, but he and his wife Helena ran a highly successful jewelry business in the 1990s, which brought them fame and high living. Then they lost it all, and some years later bought a derelict house, which they renovated, and now together they've created a garden. They join me in the studio today. You do seem to do most things in partnership, like the jewelry business, but using Jed's name. Why is that? Helena?
Well, this is a bit of a bone of contention, actually. We have a friend in PR who said, "You have a great name, Jed Stone. People would pay a fortune for such a good name." But sadly, at the time, it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't get the credit for what we do. And that does get to me sometimes. But there again, I'm very bad at putting myself forward. People see Jed as a figurehead, which is fine, actually, because I don't enjoy being recognised or get any thrill out of that. Whereas Jed loves it.
Is that right, Jed?
Obviously, I'd love to say no, I don't. But yeah, I do. Even as a child, I thought it must be marvellous to walk down a street and have people know who you were. Ironically, that's the worst of it now. It would be nice just to go and buy a paper without somebody saying something. But I suppose I do like being a public figure. Gives me a sense that I've done something people appreciate. Doesn't stop me doing anything, but it does modify how I do it.
But Helena, you did appear on our television screens briefly as a presenter on the travel show. That must have been a dream job, travelling around the world.
Actually, I thought I was being heroic taking that job. I'd actually rather have gone down a coal mine. It was ironic, really, because Jed adores travelling, whilst I hate it. The timing was critical, though. I mean, we were living in this derelict house. We'd knocked huge holes in the walls to make windows, and we could hardly afford to get the job finished. And I wanted to be there when it was done. So I genuinely didn't want to do the job they were offering, but I felt I had no choice because, apart from anything else, it would provide us with a reasonable income.
So what about this jewel garden? Did you have a clear idea of what you wanted to do when you bought the house?
Not at all. In fact, we were provoked into action. I was giving a lecture on gardening, and I was including some snaps of our own wilderness to show what certain plants looked like. But these photos hadn't loaded onto my laptop properly, and you couldn't see a thing. So I started to make it all up, describing this jewel garden with magical colours. It came straight out of my imagination. Hadn't been a long-term plan or anything. Anyway, as soon as I'd finished, these journalists came rushing up saying, "We must come and take pictures of your jewel garden." And I heard myself replying, "Fine, but come when the colours are good. Don't come now." To cut a long story short, we had to make the jewel garden before they came. And actually, we did 90% of the work that summer. That was our incentive.
And why did you call it a jewel garden? Having read about the disasters with the jewellery business, one would have thought you wouldn't want the word jewel in your house at all.
Well, I like to work on projects. And if you have a project where you're thinking only of jewel colours, then that starts to limit you. And design is all about reduction. Really, it was just a good, positive way of tackling what plants we were putting in and the way we were going to design the garden, wasn't it, Jed?
Yeah, but for me, it was also partly a metaphor. It's making something worthwhile out of a failure. We did spend years doing the jewellery, and it wasn't all disastrous. There were good things about it too, and we wanted to salvage them and treasure them. Seemed a waste not to take that bit of our lives and to somehow incorporate it into our new design venture, to take the bad experience and use it in a creative way.
Jed and Helena, thank you for telling us about it today.
This is the end of the listening section.